Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is draft week. It is draft week. It is draft week. And now I have to say this with the great Rob Lauder, of course. This is now our annual tradition of doing our 30 visits mock draft. When you do it 2 years in a row, it's annual. Is that correct, Rob?
It is. Nobody has to know how long we've been doing it. It's just annual.
We do it every year.
It's an annual tradition.
I love it, man. So it's so great to be with everybody today. Thank you for everybody. We're with Rob Lauder of Striking Gold Podcast, the legend himself. And Rob, you got the day off, man. How you feeling?
I'm good, dude. Tail end of my spring break. Got some time off. Got some rest. It would have been so sweet if my spring break aligned with draft week, but it's okay. It's not a big deal. The draft's in the evening. Whatever, but it would have been cool. Almost had it.
Dude, I remember the spring break days, and my problem was my kids didn't go to the same school I taught at. So we were always off and whatever else. And now I'm homeschooling. So it's even more crazy and whatever else. But it's going to be a crazy week. And if I could do anything, I'd hit that fast forward button right now. I want to get there. I'm just ready to see who it is, and I enjoy these conversations and learning about these prospects. That way, when draft day happens, we know more about them. And so today, what we're going to do, all of the top 30 visits, which they only did 28, I believe. We have this awesome graphic right here from SF Data Niners. Does such a wonderful job over on Twitter, new account, but does wonderful work. These are the 28 players that the 49ers have met with officially for their top 30. I'll run through them just real quick name-wise. Kelvin Banks Jr., Mikael Williams, Shamar Stewart, Josh Simmons, Walter Nolan, James Pierce Jr., Josh Connerly Jr., Ariante Ursary, Darius Alexander, Harold Fannin Jr., Marcus Bow, Omar Norman Lott, Kyle Williams, Anthony Belton, Chris Paul Jr., Quincy Riley, Aeneas Peebles, David Walker, Kobe Bryant, Caleb Rogers, Elijah Roberts, Jackson Hawes, Jalen Connors, Bilal Cohn, Kane Medrano, Jordan Watkins, and Jonah Monheim. How did I do? I did all right.
You got them all, and I don't think you mispronounced a single one.
Whew. You remember the Micro Machines commercials? I used to want to be that guy. You remember the fast talker guy on Macro?
Yeah, Micro at the end. Yeah.
Always wanted to be that guy. Just they couldn't do it.
Yeah. I can't remember what they would say.
He would go through the legal disclaimer, whatever. Right. He just five times speed, whatever. So our mock draft today is just from those names. So we are operating on a beyond limited basis. So we're going to have to do some structure and planning to try to fill this mock draft out. And for those of you that are watching that are but that's not very realistic. One third of the players drafted since Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have showed up have been on their top 30 official visits list. So
one, you want me to read the most recent names?
I would love
got them right here. Okay.
Legend.
So in 2024, these are players that the 49ers drafted or signed after the draft, players that they met with. Wide receiver Jacob Cowing, linebacker Tatum Bethune, defensive lineman Evan Anderson. In 2023, you had Jair Brown, safety, tight end Cam Latu, cornerback Darrell Luter Jr., tight end Braden Willis. All of them got drafted. In 2022, you had defensive end Drake Jackson, wide receiver Danny Gray, running back Ty Davis Price, offensive lineman Spencer Burford, and defensive tackle Kalia Davis. And all of them got drafted too. So the only name on that entire list in the last 3 years that didn't actually get drafted was Evan Anderson. They signed him as an undrafted free agent. So it's not a guarantee that the players are going to be good. It's just telling you that they consistently like to target guys they met with, which just makes sense. Why would you meet with them if you weren't at least a little bit interested? But it's fun. That's why we do this. It's fun because at least some of the names we mentioned today or picked today are probably going to be on the team come Thursday, Friday, or Saturday.
Right, exactly. And to make it even more complicated, the Niners coached at the Senior Bowl, so they got to meet all those guys. They had meetings at the Combine. They had meetings at the Hula, the Tropicana, you know, the East-West Shrine Game in Pro Day. So, like, it's not so much that they are limited to these top 30, but these top 30 seem to have a premium connection or connector to these players. And so there's a little bit more weight there. That's kind of the idea behind today's show. Now, also more news, Matt Maiocco put out there that newly signed free agent DeMarcus Robinson, the wide receiver that they paid a decent amount for, probably the 49ers are anticipating a 3-game suspension to start the season, that DUI charge that he had last year. Now, here's my question for you, Rob. Here is the 49ers' current roster at receiver, but you have to remember, Ayuk's not going to be ready to start the season. DeMarcus Robinson is going to be suspended to start the season. So my question to you, Rob, who are the three starting wide receivers week one? If you want to throw in a draft pick, cool, but who are your starting three wide receivers?
3 games. I mean, obviously it's an important 3 games. We know that now. This is a total side conjecture, but I got so tired in recent years of people saying, or like, it's almost around the phrase must win games. I'm like, everybody always says, oh, must win games aren't until December. I'm like, what are we talking about? Like, no, they're all must win games. There's only 17 of them and they all decide the seeding. So they're all must win games in my
opinion. And you're a coach, so you understand what that process is like. Like, you never go into a game acting like this game is not important. Like,
right. How many times have the 49ers had to stare at the TV after a game, wondering how that game was going to affect their seeding? When if you win the games in September, then you're okay. You know, stuff like that. But anyways, where do they go at receiver? To be honest, I'm not sure if I were running that team. I'm not sure if I would knee jerk to it. You know, if they were already expecting it, it's 3 games. You've got Juwan Jennings, who's already shown that he can step up in a huge way when he needs to. I expect him to be even better this year. You've got Ricky Pearsall, who you're already kind of counting on to take the next step. Been seeing a lot of workout videos with him and Jacob Cowing and Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy looks jacked, by the way. That dude looks swole.
Every offseason, he comes back. Lots of creativity.
A little bit bigger. You've still got George Kittle. They're expecting to have Christian McCaffrey. I just think you weather that storm, whatever storm you even consider that. DeMarcus Robinson hasn't had a snap in the 49ers offense. So I'm not making it any huge signing. I'm not going out and snagging, you know, Keenan Allen or Amari Cooper or, you know, Tyler Lockett or Robert Woods just to make you feel better about those 3 games. Put a little bit of pressure on the guys you got in the building. See what they do. Win a game. If not, just throw it to George Kittle over and over again. You'll be all right.
Oh, Kittle will never have enough targets. I don't care the situation. If he had 12 targets a game, you could still throw the ball to Kittle more. I agree with you. And so, like, I think everybody wants it to be Cowing. Can he show up ready to go? That's kind of the question. You know, there were some issues last year with lining up, penalties, whatever else. But I think that's who the fans want, and probably the 49ers want as well. They spent a 4th-round pick on them. Now, you do have Russell Gage, Trent Taylor, Isaiah Hodgins, Tariq Owens. Those are the other wide receivers currently on the roster. And again, I want to remind everybody, the compensation pick formula, which is so vital to how the 49ers operate and populating this roster, right? You have 11 picks this year. You have 11 picks scheduled to happen next year. That compensation cutoff date is a week from today. The first Monday after the draft, you could sign vets and they don't count for the compensation pick formula. So the 49ers would lock in their 4 maximum compensation picks that a team can receive, which they are projected to get currently. I have the picture here somewhere. Here we go. Yeah, currently, according to over the cap, the 49ers are projected to get a 4th-rounder for Aaron Banks, 4th-rounder for Charvarius Ward, and a 5th-rounder for Talanoa Hufanga. So that's where they are there with the 3-player compensation pick formula. That's according to over the cap. Now, I would be remiss to say they are the best at this, but they have gotten the past 2 years wrong with the 49ers. So whatever. They're the best.
Yeah, because but a fourth turned into like a 7th this year.
Correct. Yeah, they thought Sam Darnold would bump up to a 4th. It did not happen. He canceled out with, I forget who we signed that canceled that one out. But I think it was Devondre Campbell, actually, who just continues to screw the 49ers no matter what happens. Anyway, that's what that is. So that's the wide receiver position. And even if, Rob, here's my question. Let's say the 49ers do draft a wide receiver in day one or day two. Would you expect him to start for Kyle Shanahan in week one? Like, it doesn't usually happen that way.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, even if he needed him, like, he's just so stubborn with that position. And I get it. You know, I coach receivers, and Kyle Shanahan wasn't a receiver and all the way through college, and he's very hard on him. I get it. But even if it seemed like the 49ers desperately needed that receiver, I would see Trent Taylor getting the snaps in front of a rookie, just because Kyle Shanahan's a little old school. He feels that those guys, no matter where they were drafted, should have to earn it and work their way through it. And it's just the way it is. How involved? Deebo Samuel was pretty involved right out the gate, wasn't he? And Brandon Ayuk both were.
Yeah, they kind of had to be, because one of them was the COVID year, and then we had all the injuries. So Ayuk was playing by himself half that year. You remember? It was 2020 was, that was a whole thing. Deebo, he came in, but it was end arounds. It was, drift routes. It wasn't
right.
It was screens. It was whatever. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo, just get the ball out of your hands as quickly as possible over and over again. So, I don't know. I'm not sure how that would look. So, anyway, without further ado, let's jump in. If you're ready, Rob, we are using Stick to the Model, and we're doing all full seven rounds. We're keeping pretty much everything as is. And, again, we are going from the top 30 visits. So that is what is important here. And so, Rob, go ahead and talk us through, because we're going to pick what we think the 49ers will do, but there's a little caveat to it.
Yeah, I think for this one, I think our main focus is going to be picking what we think the 49ers are going to do, because that's really all that matters now. We're in draft week. It's where the rubber meets the road, and that's all anybody really cares about is what the 49ers are going to do. Now, we're not the 49ers. We're just guessing, as is everybody, and we're probably all going to be wrong, and that's okay. But I think our focus should be on what the 49ers are going to do. But just to preserve our sanity just a little bit, we're also going to say what we would do in that moment. And I think I'm going to try and take a page out of Peacock's book. I think I'm going to try and do a little shadow mock draft this year. I think I'm going to try and just use a big board and mark the players off. And I'm going to say publicly on the old X, what player I would have taken in that moment. Just, I don't know, for fun. Why not? We've talked about these players so much. We might as well put a little skin in the game, I guess you could say.
I like it. I love it. I got to make this the full thing so it looks cooler. Look at that. Now it's way cooler. I'm going to start the draft and try to pause it around 5 or 6 to assess. There we go. Now, here's one thing that I do think is interesting on recent, information coming out, is that the Jaguars at 5, who have been locked in to Mason Graham, are now becoming a betting favorite to take Ashton Jeanty, which means Mason Graham, the defensive tackle, has a little bit more of a chance to fall. Now, the 49ers didn't spend one of their top 30, so he's not in conversation with us here. But does that intrigue you at all as far as a what would Rob Lauder do? Where does Mason Graham fit on your spectrum of, man, might be worth trading up?
I can't remember if I was thinking about this in the middle of the night after waking up with the baby, or I was thinking about it trying to go to sleep last night, but I was like, man, because it must have been early. It had to have been early this morning, because I read that and I was like, dude, if Mason Graham doesn't go to the Jags, and then, maybe Las Vegas takes him, but they've got a few other directions they could go. I'm like, man, if he somehow makes it to Carolina at 8, and Carolina is reportedly one of the teams that is trying to trade back, what would you have to throw Carolina to move up from 11 to 8? At that point, I wouldn't really want to wait on it anymore. You're not just – maybe Mason Graham just straight up falls to 11, and the 49ers are like, hallelujah, but what would you be willing to give up to move – and would you move from 11 to 8 if he fell that far?
I would be interested. Now, the problem is, the 11th pick for the 49ers, 1,250 points. Carolina at 8, 1,400. So you're talking 150-point discrepancy between those two. Well, your 75th pick in the third round, which I do not want to trade, is worth 215. Your 100th pick in round 3 is worth 100 points. So it would take probably pick 100, which I don't want to trade. I want more third runners, right, not less, right, and a future third is kind of, or a future fourth. Now that I would be cool with. So if we gave up pick 100 and a future fourth, or pick 100 and pick 138 combined, that's 137 points. A little bit of a discount. I would be interested in that, but man, every time I do a mock draft this year, third round is the home run round. I do not want to lose one of those.
You love the third round.
Springtime is here, and baseball season is officially underway. Don't miss your chance to add your favorite players from the diamond in your Prize Picks lineups. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, or first inning runs, take your pick of more or less for your shot to win up to 1,000 your cash today. On Prize Picks, you can mix and match players' projections from different sports, combine your favorite baseball players with your players from basketball, hockey, esports, and much more. Also, Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick, easy deposits into this sports season. So, sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So head over to prizepicks.com, or you can go to the app, download the app today, and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, go to prizepicks.com or download the app and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
It to me, it's just a matter of, it's the most glaring need on the team aligned with the best player available, an opportunity to get the best player available at that position. Does that mean that one of these other defensive tackles is could have a better career than Mason Graham? No, of course it doesn't. Anybody of these guys could show out. But man, if you were just within striking distance of that player, you're at least making the call. And the interesting thing I was thinking about too is, if there's so many teams that reportedly want to trade back, and that Adam Schefter list was like 10 teams that all were down to trade back, you might be able to trade back or trade up at a little bit of a discount, because there's probably some teams that are like, yeah, I mean, I just want to trade back and get an extra pick. I'll do it for a little bit less. Let's just do it. Especially if it's only something like 3 spots. So it's something to talk about. It's entertaining to think about. I would certainly be trying to do it, because again, it's need meeting best player available in the best way. And then maybe the 49ers could find a way to make it to where it was some like sort of pick swap where you give up 75, but then you get back whatever their fourth rounder is. And then you could kind of maneuver from there to make it to where you've still got like a third rounder or something. But just something to think about.
All right. So we're not going to trade up for anybody, because again, the top 30 list, we're kind of confined to Kelvin Banks Jr., Mikael Williams, Shamar Stewart, Josh Simmons, Walter Nolan, James Pierce. Those are the first round guys. So we're kind of stuck. We're not trading up for any of those. Agreed?
Right. Okay. No.
So let's go to 11. They took Mason Graham at 5. Genty went, again, just rounding out that top 10. So Ashton Genty went 6. Mimbu 7.
Someone took Jaylen Kelvin Walker. Banks.
Kelvin Banks is going high, man. I want to make a lot of money on that one. I'm just going to
good. I hope you do. I just exceeded everything you do.
He is 13 on the consensus overall board. I have him close to that as well. So now here are the 49ers that are available that we have met with in top 30 visits that we are confined to in this draft. Mikael Williams.
Just keep saying that over and over, because somebody's bound to forget it and they're going to yell at us for making these picks.
This draft, we are kind of stuck with whomever they met with recently. That's it. So that's all we're picking with. So I am a huge Derek Harmon fan. Huge. I love Derek Harmon. He's not on this list. We're not taking him. And
somebody in the chat was saying that something came out medically.
Albright put out that there might be a medical red flag. I've not seen any details, but this is what happens. And, you know, we saw it last year with Jackson Powell. Powers. We saw it with the cornerback that Philly took, Cooper DeJean. Like, these things happen, and both those players fell considerably. When there's a medical that none of the fans know about, but the teams do, those guys fall. So I don't know what the injury is. I've researched and researched and researched. I've just seen that perhaps there's a red flag, or that some teams have a red flag on him. That is a medical issue. That's all I've been able to find. So anyway, he's not on our list anyway. So all we could pick, this is what we are stuck to. So you guys help us. Mikael Williams, Shamar Stewart, Josh Simmons, Walter Nolan, James Pierce. That is it. That is all that matters.
Can we throw the picture back up there so that,
yes.
I mean, I've got it in front of me, but so the homies can see it.
Look at this. Shout out to StreamYard. They have streamlined their process of switching what is being projected, and that was smooth. That was relatively smooth.
Okay, so first, again, I want our focus to be, what do we think the 49ers will do? Kelvin Banks is off the board. That's at the top of the list. So like you said, Mikael Williams, Shamar Stewart, Josh Simmons, Walter Nolan, James Pierce Jr. Can we narrow that down? Do you think it comes down to like a Mikael Williams, Shamar Stewart, Walter Nolan?
Yeah, I believe so. I think those are the three. You have the giant medical red flag with Josh Simmons, who's an amazing player. But, man, that patella tendon tear is – that's a whole thing. James Pierce, you know, Barrows came out and said he doesn't think they're going to pick him. The character issues. There are character issues with Walter Nolan, but it seems like he has interviewed well, and the perception out there is, you know, he's all right. And you're a Walter Nolan no matter what guy.
I am. I mean, I don't want to make things boring, you know, but if – I'm not sure he's not what I think the 49ers will do. Somebody said today, who said that? I thought it was, you know what? It was in a conversation between Larry Kruger and Matt Maiocco, and something about choosing between Walter Nolan and Shamar Stewart for the 49ers at 11, which I could tell you, between those two, I mean, again, we're choosing what the 49ers would do, but to me, it's an easy choice between those two. Like, just, I don't want to sit here and rail against Shamar Stewart over and over.
Right. But Larry loves, those are his two favorite players. They both went to Texas A&M, his favorite school. You know, I've recorded with Larry several times. He's the freaking man. But like, he loves those A&M guys, and those are two A&M guys, and he loves Ole Miss. And so like, I think both those are fits. Obviously the Niners do. They spent meetings with them. Shamar Stewart would be, again, for what I'm doing, he's my 50th overall player. I can't take a player that has zero awareness on where the football ever is. It can't recognize blocks, and just, he plays super hard and he's a freak athlete. I can't do that. That's just me personally. Doesn't mean they won't take him, but that's okay. Yeah, Maiocco said it on Larry's show. Exactly correct. That was an awesome show, by the way.
I think the 49ers in this situation would do Mikael Williams.
That's what I think they would do too. I think they want to go edge. And if you look at all the meetings, again, Mikael Williams, Shamar Stewart, James Pierce, like edge, that's three edge guys in the first. So I also believe Mikael Williams would be the pick out of these. What would you do? You would do Walter Nolan.
I would. I'll write it down. I'm going to write down what I would do. There we go.
Did I just hear paper, like pen and pad?
No, it was a keyboard, but no.
Well, I was like, oh, are you getting out the old freaking, like, lip
book? Coach's notebook? No.
Yeah, I love it, man. I got mine over here somewhere. I do have a pencil.
Can I find something?
That's awesome. That's
okay,
awesome.
So, yes, I would go Walter Nolan here. I am a Walter Nolan no matter what guy. And again, like, maybe he's being held back a little bit by the possibility of the immaturity stuff. I mean, the 49ers had him in for a top 30 visit. That's the point. They would have a good idea that I read a lot of stuff from scouts saying, like, dude, he's just a young guy trying to figure out how he's going to, you know, and that's not an excuse that everybody gets is afforded. You know, you're still entering into a professional job, but I'm not sure any of the maturity issues would be enough to scare me away from a defensive lineman that talented. Like, he, out of all the top defensive linemen, he seems like he has the most, like, game-breaking potential. You know, just the plays he makes, like, sometimes are terrifying. And you're like, man, okay. So, yeah.
If you want to fall in love with a player, you watch Walter Nolan highlights, it's incredible. I mean, his highlights are A+++. I do.
Mikel Williams does some freaky stuff every now and then too. That dude is powerful.
It's funny because like you have Shamar Stewart, which is a 100% projection pick, and then you have Mikel Williams, which is like a 50-50. Because like he's got way better tape, he's got way better production consistently over 3 years. 14.5 sacks versus 4 sacks. Big difference. Oh, look at that. Look at the comments. Niner fan asked you to fax it to him. Sid says, no,
I gotta connect to my fax machine to my dial-up connection.
I love this, man. I appreciate everybody. Yeah, I use Evernote mostly for notes. That's great. That's great. Great. So you want Walter Nolan, but you think the 49ers would take Mikel Williams.
Yes.
I believe that to be the case as well. I love Walter Nolan. I would be very happy with the pick. I prefer Derek Harmon, but he's not on this list, but they're close to me. And now the medical issues, that raises another red flag. I don't know what they are. So we're going to pick Mikel Williams. That is going to be our pick for the 49ers off of the top 30 list only. Again, we're confined to that. So are we okay to make this pick and move forward?
Yeah. Let's roll.
Let's roll, baby. I like Mikel Williams way more than most.
Out of all the edge and even some of the defensive linemen, he has the least amount of question marks. He has the highest floor, the least amount of question marks. He answers a lot of questions just in the way he plays. The cool thing about Mikel Williams is you're like, okay, I already think he's pretty damn good, but how much better can he get? You know, there's really not much of a floor with him, at least not in the way I see him play. But you think you can get, the way they asked him to play was crazy. He was a 3 technique sometimes. He was a 4, he was at a 4, he was at a 9, he was at a 5. And a lot of the times you could tell that he was under strict requirements to hold the edge. You would constantly see him wait. He wasn't just firing off the ball trying to get after the quarterback. And when he did, a lot of times it was pretty impressive. He did some good stuff. But he was a very disciplined player, and they asked him to play a very specific way. So I think if you're projecting him as a pass rusher, there's a lot that could still come from that. It's not totally like you're not just getting an elite run defender. I think that he could do a lot more.
Yeah, Niner Goat, he says, I hated the idea of drafting Mikel 3 months ago. I hate it now. And a lot of people are really low on him because he doesn't have the huge. Now, if you, and again, we said this, like, if you want to like Walter Nolan, you go watch the highlights. If you want to like Mikel Williams, go watch 2023 when he didn't have his injured ankle week 1 and play through it the entire season. Go watch 2023 tape. You can go watch 2022 tape. Like, his freshman year starting, everybody had him projected as a future top 5 pick. Like, and it's not like he got bad. He rolled his ankle and played through it. And so, like, I personally, as a coach, this maybe is a negative in my personality trait, I want tough guys that play through injuries. I hate guys that are injured and just, yeah, I'm out. I can't go, coach. Like, not if you can't, like, if you're injured and you can't play, that's one thing. But there is a positive element to players that play through injuries. Like, think about, you know, Fred Warner. Yeah, defensive player of the year, fractures his ankle, didn't miss any time. I think he missed one series. Jumps back out there and plays the rest of the season. Like, I don't know. I have a little bit of that old school. I value that. That's probably a negative. I probably should.
Not only did
that.
Fred Warner still play, but he played when he's kind of on the eve of getting another contract or some sort of extension. So he's not worried about the money in the slightest. I mean, he's out there for the fact that he loves the game and he loves his teammates, which, you know, that line gets blurred a lot in the pros when everything is, they're making such an unbelievable amount of money, life-changing type money, generation-changing money. But it's always nice to see a player that's just willing to gut it out. You know, that's just you don't have to make it like flip it into where it could be a negative. It's just a positive trait for a player willing to gut through it.
I like it. So, all right, we got Mikel Williams to the much people don't like it. That's okay. We're going off the top 30 visits only. So right now we're at pick 43. And here are the players that are off the board. James Pierce went. Josh Simmons went. Josh Connerly went. Ariante Ursery went. So here are the players that are available for us. We have a very limited pool. The 49ers met with Darius Alexander. He is available. They met with Harold Fannin Jr., available. Marcus Bau, available. Omar Norman Lott, available. Kyle Williams, available. I think that's probably the only players that are in the conversation. Now, there's a lot of other players available on the big board, but the 49ers didn't spend a top 30 visit on. So right. Who stands? Darius Alexander, the defensive tackle is a big deal. I think he could go in the first. Marcus Bow, Omar Norman Lott. Talk to me about these guys that are available. Harold Fannin Jr.
I think that, and this is in the moment thing, we didn't talk about this, but I think using the mock draft tool, stick to the model, in addition to this, the top 30 visits is making our job a little bit harder, because even if we were just choosing from this list of top 30 visits, creating a mock draft just from that might be difficult. Like right now, if we won't be able to click them on the thing, but if Josh Connerly was still on the board, would that be where you'd think the 49ers would go with this pick?
I am super high on Josh Connerly. I would not be shocked if he finds his way into the back end of the first round, just because he's such a high-end prospect. He went 31 to the Chiefs in this mock draft on sticktothemodel.com. I would love Josh Connerly. I think if he hits his ceiling of all the offensive tackles in this draft, he might be the best. He's got a ways to go. His consistency is lower than a lot of the top end guys, but his footwork, his athleticism, his length, like, man, if he hits, that's a home run pick. It could be like he has all pro potential. I don't think you'd say that about a lot of the tackles that are going to go before him, but it is a little bit more of a boom or bust.
Well, so that's what I mean. It's obviously it kind of ruins a little bit of the aesthetic and the fact that we wouldn't be able to pick him on the thing. But I think we've already made it challenging enough just using this top 30 visits list. I think we're making things a little too difficult on ourselves, making it to where only the players that are in the top 30 visits and available on this mock draft might be making it a little too difficult for ourselves.
We're going to be struggling.
I mean, we'll just roll with it either way. I think if we're going off the players that are on this simulator plus the top 30 visits, well, we went Mykel Williams with the first one. Oh, man. To me, it's between Darius Alexander and Ariante Irsery.
Hey, he's gone. He got picked.
Oh, he did. Okay, so now we're making it even harder on us. Okay, then to me, the one Darius Alexander is quite a bit, at least on whatever he used. Oh, mock draft database. Okay, whatever big board he used in this to make the top 30 visits graphic. I mean, if we went Mykel Williams for the first one on the what would we think the 49ers would do, I'd probably still lean Darius Alexander. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so as well. And I'm growing more and more in love with the 43rd pick. I'm liking it a little bit more because it just seems like somebody has to fall that is of value, just numerically speaking. There are 43 quality players. And for me, my hope after the 49ers pick, really before even in the first round, I want running backs, I want tight ends, and I want quarterbacks off the board. Like, I'm hoping safeties. Like, I want those guys to fly off the board because that's going to push down. And if Darius Alexander's sitting there at 43, like, even if we're not going off of the top 30 picks, like, this might be one of the ones, like, man, I would take this guy, especially if you go edge early.
So do we think the 49ers would take Darius Alexander at 43?
Yes, I do. Okay. I like TJ Sanders a little bit more. But again, like, we're being picky here. I would probably go TJ. Man, I'd go.
But they didn't meet with those
guys. Yeah,
yeah.
Right?
So we got to remind everybody that.
So Darius Alexander, I think this one might be for me the same as what I would also. I think the 49ers would do it, and I think I personally would be very happy with this pick based off of the 30 list.
Yeah, and with me, I went Walter Nolan with the first one, so I went defensive line, but there's not really. You know, I could, in a make-believe world, if I wasn't using the mock draft simulator, I could say, well, maybe James Pierce is in play there, but maybe he's also not somebody they're interested in, a lot of character stuff with him. Probably for me, if I was going off this, I'm trying to ignore your mock draft simulator.
Oh,
make this work. I don't know. Maybe I would go Walter Nolan and Darius Alexander. Like,
you could use them.
You, if, like, I've consistently pounded the table for getting at least two impact defensive linemen. Like, I would like to couple one with another edge guy, but the value doesn't necessarily line up right there. And again, we're all restricted to the top 30 stuff. So it's not like we have the full. So I think I would go Darius Alexander too.
All right. All right. I'm making the pick. There we go. And let me just say this real quick, if you don't mind, Rob. If you love the draft and you want to come out and not only party with me, but D'Amador Lenore is going to be coming out with us. Go get your tickets. Let me put up the flyer here. All you got to do is go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. We have tickets available for day one and day two. And if you want to meet and greet and autograph with Demo, that is available as well. We're going to be at Broadway Studios, downtown San Francisco, North Beach area, days one and day two of the draft. Demo's just going to be there day one. But we're going to be doing giveaways, trivia, you name it. It's going to be incredible. So if you can come out in the city, go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, get your tickets, and kids get in free. So this is a family-friendly event. My son will be there. My wife will be there, which I'm super excited about. They don't get to travel with me as much to all the road trip games. My wife works on the weekends. So, but they will be here for this one. So come on out, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, and have a blast. Have a blast. All right. Let's see here. The 49ers back on the clock, and we have some players available. Harold Fannin Jr. still there. After that, it gets a little rough. This is going to be a hard one. Looks like Marcus Bowe's gone. Looks like Omar Norman Lott's gone. Chris Paul Jr. is available. Anthony Belton is available.
I really like Chris Paul. Where do they have Chris Paul Kyle Jr. Williams. On here?
They're lower on him. He is him. He's 97. Anthony Belton's 98 on this. And Kyle Williams is 109. So we're kind of stuck between Harold Fannin Jr., Kyle Williams, Anthony Belton, Chris Paul.
Okay. Okay. I'm looking at the So this big board that he used, the mock draft database. They've got Kyle Williams, 89, Anthony Belton, 96, Chris Paul Jr., 103, and then Quincy Riley, 117. So we're in pick 70, what?
This is pick 75. This is our third rounder, and then we're back up at 100. And so far, again, according to what we think the 49ers will do off their top 30 visits, we took Mikael Williams, 1, and Darius Alexander, 2. That's what we think the 49ers will do. But according to Rob Lauder, John Chapman, what we would do based off those top 30 visits, what does our board look like?
Walter Nolan, Darius Alexander.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I like that.
That's a wrecking machine right there. To me, it's between, at least right now, I mean, I like Kyle Williams too, but to me, it's between Harold Fannin and Chris Paul Jr. I think the 49ers would take Chris Paul Jr. here.
Man, I would.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I
he's
think
a reach on this board, but.
I think he's a reach as well. I have a fourth round on him. I like him. I do like him, but I don't like him as much. But he's a perfect solid linebacker, undersized, small. I mean, you look at Jamie and Sherwood, you look at DFF, you look at Marcel Harris. Like, he is the ideal height, weight, speed, size linebacker that solid. Seems to get everywhere he goes.
Right. I think that that's where the 49ers will go here. I just don't think they're going to be willing to wait until that end of the third round pick. That might be where he should go. But again, you got my stupid make-believe drafting idea where it's like, man, if you really want to make a mock draft, look how you want it to look and take every guy like half a round to a round early. And yeah, you're going to take a gut punch in terms of value, at least some spots, but you will get exactly the guys you want to if you're willing to reach for them just a little bit. And the 49ers have shown us that they are willing to reach for guys because they value them. And
last year, that's exactly what they did over and over and over again.
Right. And Chris Paul Jr. is not that small. He's 6'1", 225 pounds, and he holds a frame where he looks like he can easily put on 10 more pounds of muscle. And the 49ers like guys like that. Like,
yeah,
Dre Greenlaw was not massive, a little wider than Chris Paul Jr., but I love Chris Paul Jr.'s movement skills. He seems like a very intelligent linebacker. He can, I mean, the way he like skirts around guards and just completely like avoids contact with them is pretty impressive at times. He's pretty good dropping into coverage. I like watching him do that. He seems pretty instinctive. Should have had more interceptions than he had. I think he dropped a couple, but That's where I think the 49ers would go right here. Do you think they would go Harold Fannin?
No, as much as I would want them to. And, you know, again, looking at just the list, this is the only offensive tackle on this list that is left, Anthony Belt Jr. So, like, if at any point you want to go offensive tackle, it's like maybe he falls to 100. They have him listed at 98 on Stick to the Ball.
Yeah, but if you wouldn't have forced us to use the stupid mock draft simulator, then we could just say, nope, we're going Anthony Belt late third round.
I know.
You decided to make our lives more miserable here, John.
Dude, I feel like I'm in marriage counseling because this is, I've heard this before.
Heard this many times. I enjoy the challenge. So should we agree on something for the 49ers at 73? What do you
think? I think Chris Paul Jr. is the biggest need fit. A little bit of a reach, and I don't like that. But again, we're doing this for a reason because like these are guys that the 49ers have honed in on and they're fits. And so, like, I'm totally cool with that. So I think the 49ers would go Chris Paul Jr. Now, what would Rob Lauder do?
I think I'd go Chris Paul Jr.
Oh, wow. Back to back.
In that case, I think I'd go Chris Paul Jr. I mean, I like Harold Fannin, but I'm not quite, like enamored with him. You know, like, he obviously is productive, but, you know, I'm just not, like, gotta have him type of thing. Would have been cool to be looking at Omar Norman Lott here, but I can't go three defensive linemen in a row.
He's not there anyway.
Right. Because we're using the stupid simulator. and then, you know, maybe Anthony Belton falls to us on the next one. But I think I would go Chris Paul Jr. too.
Okay. So let's go with, where is he at?
Our top 30 mock draft for the 49ers so far is Mykel Williams, Darius Alexander, and Chris Paul Jr. Like that,
I'm not upset.
No, I would. If they pulled that off, I'd be like, damn, okay.
Now we're going to be in trouble. I hope you, like, this is all my fault. I'll take full responsibility. Because, like, who's, okay, Kyle Williams is there. That's nice. Let's keep scrolling to see what other guys are available that the 49ers have met with. David Walker is there. Aeneas Peebles, another defensive lineman, is there. Let's see here. Quincy Riley, the corner, is there. So there are some
Anthony
players.
Anthony Belton did not make it, right?
He did not. He is gone. Okay.
That's fine. Sadly.
So it seems like we're kind of confined to Kyle Williams, Quincy Riley, Aeneas Peebles, David Walker for this next. This is pick 100. And, man, I think that this is almost a no-brainer. We started talking about wide receivers earlier. Kyle Williams, I think, goes before pick 100. But, man, he's a perfect 49er.
At least it's still in the third round. You know, I assume that Kyle Williams is probably going to go early third or late second. But at least we're still – there were mock drafts earlier, you know, about a month ago where we could take Kyle Williams at like 150-something. You know, so I like the fact that he's at least available in a semi-realistic spot here. But I would go Kyle Williams too. I think at this stage the 49ers would likely go Kyle Williams. They have to throw Kyle Shanahan a bone at some point just to give him to go on a walk and leave him alone while they try and draft the players that the team actually needs. So, I mean, if you think that's where they would go, I would agree with you.
Yeah, I like it. And again, like maybe a little early on some of these guys, Kyle Williams doesn't fall into that crowd. I think maybe a little bit early on Chris Paul, but you know, that's where we are. So again, you're walking out just based off the top 30 visits, Mykel Williams, Darius Alexander, Chris Paul, Kyle Williams. Happy, joy. I got no issues with that.
Nope. I think we're all right.
Okay, here we go. Pick 113. We got David Walker, edge rusher, Central Arkansas. We got Aeneas Peebles, defensive tackle, defensive lineman. He can kind of do everything. Corner, Quincy Riley. They have met with very many times. Let's see. Is there anybody else as I scroll down? Not for a while. Not really seeing a lot more guys on there. Kobe Bryant way down the list corner if we want to wait on corner here. But we have two picks. So this is pick 113, and then we got 138, 147. So we've got kind of three picks in this range. What are your thoughts on
just
these
to remind
three-
everybody, because I see a lot of comments, we are only drafting players on the 49ers list of top 30 visits. There's a ton of names here that we would probably be going with, but they're not on the 49ers list of top 30, so we cannot go with them.
Yeah, again, we are only going off of this list, the SF top 30 visits. This is an annual tradition. You don't mess with tradition, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Lauder and myself, we do this every year, and you guys have joined us. So many years, we can't even count how high this has gone on. So, David Walker, Aeneas Peoples, and then the corner, Quincy Riley. I think that's what our decision has to come down to. So we already have an edge. We already have a defensive tackle. But the one thing I will say about Aeneas Peoples, I think he is, if you don't get Derek Hartman early, I think he's one of the better pass rusher defensive tackles. Well, we got Darius Alexander, who's just this behemoth of a human being. So you kind of are getting both of your defensive tackle fits, your pass rusher and your run stuffer. If we went that way, David Walker, man, he great against the run. Amazing edge guy, productive. But if we're looking for starter, I think Quincy Riley probably fits the biggest need. We don't have a third corner on this roster.
Right.
So I think it would be down to Aeneas Peoples or Quincy Riley for me, personally.
Yeah, I agree. I like David Walker too, but I think that we might be able to get away with waiting for him. But I don't know, man. I'm in between the same two but it's what do I think the 49ers would do in this moment? After the draft we'd already had, I think they would go corner. I think they'd go Quincy Riley. But it wouldn't be what I would do. I'm gonna write down mine first. I would go with Aeneas Peoples here.
I think I would as well. I love the later corners, right? And so the Kobe Bryant.
You know what? I'm gonna amend my I would not go with
I heard the pencil.
Yeah, you did. Well, I've already got Walter Nolan and Darius Alexander. I can't just take all the defensive linemen. I mean, I could.
Why not?
I mean, I could. It's really not a bad thing. You know what? Screw it. This is not real life. I'm writing it down. It's in pencil. Aeneas Peoples, we have three defensive linemen now.
I would not be upset. I would not be upset at all.
No, they would still all see significant snaps, and two of them would be your starters. Like, it's still not crazy.
So we're going Quincy Riley for the 49ers corner.
I think that's the play if we're going with what the 49ers would do.
You're plugging starters, you know what I mean? And so, like, you look at what the 49ers, you walked away with Mikael Williams, starter. He starts day one. Darius Alexander starts day one. Chris Ball starts day one. Kyle Williams, maybe not. Quincy Riley starts day one. Like, that is three.
Kyle Williams has the talent, but Kyle Shanahan would just oppress him into the doghouse. Every receiver starts in the doghouse.
Facts.
Just for existing.
Now we're in trouble because we got Kobe Bryant, who's available. Who else we got on here? Caleb Rogers.
Interior offensive lineman.
Yeah, Caleb Rogers is there. Okay. Elijah Roberts, if we wanted to, I think I saw him on the list. Did I? Is he gone? I want to have to start. Yeah, Elijah Roberts is there. They met with him. He's
a pretty impressive edge/three technique player.
Correct. Tight ends available. Yeah, Jackson Hawes is there. Jalen Conyers is there. So we've got a little bit more. There's some names available that we get to choose from. I will say that. But
we have two picks that are relatively close together right here, right?
That is correct.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, so again, I'm staring at the top 30 visits. We just took a corner. Man, if we could get like Caleb Rogers and Elijah Roberts right here for those two picks.
Yeah, I think you could. You'd have to go Elijah Roberts first. He's about to go off the board, so he's among the best.
I like that. I think that, you know, just to refresh everybody on what the 49ers have drafted so far in this top 30 is Mikael Williams, Darius Alexander, Chris Paul Jr., wide receiver Kyle Williams, cornerback Quincy Riley. I think plugging in another edge guy, especially one that can bounce back and forth. You know, he doesn't necessarily always have to be at end. Kind of like an Eric Armstead type of, you know, do you want him at three tech for that snap or do you want him at a five or a nine or whatever just to hold the edge? I guess it depends on the snap, but. I wouldn't mind going edge here.
Yeah. Ben, NY Niners says, Niners would take him, Elijah Roberts. Met with him four times, most of any player. Yeah, like that nugget. Like it. So, Elijah Roberts. What would Rob Lauder do?
Ooh. In being confined, you stupid simp. I think I would do the same because this would actually, in my mock draft, this would be the first defensive end slash edge player that I have drafted, which I actually wouldn't be too upset about. I like Elijah Rodgers.
There we go. All right. We're making it work. It's challenging to say the least, but we're piecing it together. So now
I still like our draft though.
I do too.
I think it's okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. And man, Kobe Bryant's still on the board. I think the 49ers could use two corners. So he's still big time in play with me. Again, like that cornerback depth chart, you have your two studs up top and Diamondore Lenore and Renardo Green. After that, I have no faith in Trey Brown or Darrell Luter Jr. I have none. So like you could do two more corners and find a place for them and be okay. Let's see here. Who else? The tight end, Jackson Hawes, right? Did he go? No, he's still there.
193.
Yep. Caleb Rogers, interior offensive lineman, still there. Linebacker Kane Medrano, even though we got one, is he still there? They might be pretty low on him. Yeah, they're really low on him, so we can wait on Kane. But yeah, it seems like we're Caleb Rogers, interior offensive lineman, Tech. Jackson Hawes, tight end. Kobe Bryant corner. I think that's kind of what really I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's down to Caleb Rogers at guard or Kobe Bryant at corner. And I don't think we'll see either one of these guys available again.
At the mock draft database, they have them right next to each other. Kobe Bryant is 139 and Caleb Rogers is 141. So they're right next to each other. To me, we've already drafted a corner. Is Caleb Rogers a guy that you think could come in and compete for some sort of a spot?
I know his high school coaches, Caleb Rogers.
Really?
Yeah. And they said, tremendous, talented, all those things. Don't really want him in your locker room. And so like part of me, whenever I see like him on the, like a lot of teams met with him, he's got a little bit of, some questionable traits, not legal issues, but like
just character wise.
You're a coach. Like if somebody asks you about a player that you're not super high on, like what do you say? And like that came across from not one but two coaches that I know personally that coached him. But talented for sure. Maybe he's grown up since then. I don't know. He does fit a need. He fits the scheme. Talent is there. But yeah, a little bit questionable other stuff there. But
well, you're the man with the intel here. If you'd rather go Kobe Bryant, we can let Caleb Rogers fly right by. I just think this is really kind of our only opportunity to get an interior offensive lineman that can kind of make a difference.
Yeah, and there's no tackles left. So I'm all in on Caleb Rogers here, and I always want to believe that men can grow into better men. And I hope that is the case.
Judged on everything I was doing when I was 20, 21, and 22, then, that would be tough to know that for all intents and purposes, I was a pretty mild dude. But to know your decisions at that age would insanely affect your next 10 to 15 years of life in terms, especially when you think about the generational money, that's pretty intimidating. So I think sometimes we're probably a little too hard on these guys, but sometimes we're not. Sometimes they are exactly what you think they are.
Yeah, and I've never met the kid personally. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt every time. So, again, we're only drafting off the top 30 visits. So Luke Kondra is available, but the 49ers did not meet with him. So we are going to take Caleb Rogers here. That is the guy going off the list.
And at this point, that's what I think I would do too.
Man, that's the thing. We could find ourselves to the point of only having 28 players to select and going off of Rob Lauder's quote, stupid mock draft simulator, end quote.
I'm such an angry guest.
But still, Mikael Williams, Darius Alexander, Chris Paul, Kyle Williams, Quincy Riley, Elijah Roberts, Caleb Rogers. And we still have four picks. I don't know how we're going to fill them.
We'll just start plugging people in. Oh, James Pierce fell this far. Let's plug him in.
All right. So let's see. Jackson Hawes, the tight end, is available.
I think this is probably a good spot for a tight end.
Blaw Cone.
Do you like Jackson Haas better than Jalen Conyers?
No, I do not. I like Jalen Conyers. And now it does break my heart going back-to-back Texas Tech players. But that's okay. We can do that. In Texas, we have a saying.
Which one do you think the 49ers like?
Oh, they like Jalen Conyers. And so do you want the move or do you want the blocking tight end? So Jackson Haas is tough, blocking tight end, you know, Ivy League school transfer, you know, he that's him. Jalen Conyers is a freak athlete. Like, he's had some injury issues, which is why he is where he is, but freak movable tight end, which the Niners need that more than what they need in a blocking tight end. Yeah, you filled that with Luke Farrell.
Where are we at? What round are we in right now? Are we in the
You're at 168. This is our last pick before the seventh round. And so none of these guys almost will be available. Maybe one, but we don't pick for a while. So you're talking like 50, 60 picks going off the board.
In this moment, I think the 49ers would go with Jalen Conyers.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Some of that fifth round tight end energy.
Boom. Another good fit. Now we got our three sevenths, and we may not have the room for these players, I'm hoping. I'm watching names go off the board. I'm not seeing a lot. Oh, Jackson Haas just went. Blaw Cone just went. So we're down to, I think, three. I think we might just have three players available. We might just have to go with top ranked. But we might be able to do this. This still might work. So
is Cam Medrano still there?
Yeah. So we've got to strategically plan this out so Rob Lauder doesn't kill me. Cam Medrano is ranked 267 on Stick to the Model. Okay. Yeah. Wide receiver, Jordan Watkins. I have not seen him go off the board. Oh, no. Did he go off the board? I must have missed it.
Is he way down there?
Yeah, Jordan Watkins, way down there. So he's safe. That's going to be our last pick. And then Jonah Monheim, the
interior
center
offensive lineman. He's way down.
He's there.
Okay.
So if we strategically do this, we could theoretically go Cade Medrano, then Jonah Monheim, then Jordan Watkins. We have no other options.
Right. These are the last three people on the list.
Now we don't have to make a decision.
I like the fact I actually, you know, despite the fact that the decision is being made for us, I actually like Cam Medrano. I think that he's got a little bit of, and they'd be drafting him if they were getting him at this point into a perfect situation. Come hang out behind Fred Warner, behind Chris Paul Jr., behind D Winners, and we'll see what you can develop. Because the dude is, he could play safety if he wanted to. Like, he is fast. He is lightning. You know, it'd be cool to just see what they do with him. Right.
He has a type. Look, Ben says trade all three sevenths for one so that you can get somebody.
Can we hit the bar?
Virtual meetings. Running back Blue met with the 49ers. Yeah, but not top 30. We are purists at heart.
They did not meet with a single running back when it comes to top 30.
Respect. So much respect.
Kyle Shanahan's trying to hide his cards. He's going running back in the second round.
All right, so we're going Cade Medrano here. We have no choice, correct?
I got it on there, yep.
Okay, Cade Medrano. Now we got to hope. We got to hope. I'm watching the board. I think our guy's going to fall.
Yeah, I don't even want to watch the board. I don't even want to watch the board.
Oh, we got him. Okay, now we can go get our interior offensive line, our center, Jonah Monheim. Boom. We have accomplished.
Jake Brendel is out of there.
We have
seventh round center incoming. Jake Brendel, pack your bags, buddy.
Yeah, that's going to be a heavyweight knockout fight. And then we're scrolling all the way down to Jordan Watkins, Ole Miss wide receiver. And, man, I'm not upset with the final results. You hamstring yourself to the point of Rob Lauder about to go off the top rope on me. But
hey, WrestleMania was this weekend. I watched it. Wasn't that great? It was okay. It was okay.
All I know is on my Twitter, I did not watch it, was nothing but John Cena comments for like an hour and a half.
Right.
And I was like, what is happening?
You want to hear a stupid John Cena? I mean, it's actually kind of cute in it from a dad teacher sense. But so John Cena does this. You can't see me. In my special ed class, at the end of every year, they do a special ed talent show for the entire district. And my class... It's kind of combined with two classes. They always learn to sign language a song. And in this song, it's actually from the movie Klaus on Netflix, which is an incredible movie, by the way. the word invisible in sign language is this.
Huh.
So John Cena has been sign languaging the word, signing the word invisible every time he goes, "You can't see me." I'm like, it all makes sense now. It was like that meme where the guy goes,
"That's so cool, man!" Shout out to John Cena, who does so much for the kiddos. He's a good dude. Good dude. All right, so here is the 49ers.
Yeah, take us through it.
Ooh, Mikal Williams, Darius Alexander, Chris Paul. I love that start. Kyle Williams, Quincy Riley, the corner, defensive end, hybrid defensive tackle, Elijah Roberts, Caleb Rogers on the offensive line, Jalen Connors, move tight end, Kane Medrano, linebacker, Jonah Monheim, center, and Jordan Watkins, wide receiver. Like, we were stuck. Like, we couldn't even make choices. They were made for us, but it worked. At a 28
Floyd said, meeting, not taking an 11. Offensive tackle would be completely realistic for the 49ers.
100%. That is factual.
Ever even have an opportunity? We could have taken Anthony Belton instead of Kyle Williams.
That was it.
That was the only one we could have done.
I guess Josh Simmons, you could have taken him at 11 or Josh Connerly at 11, but that's a crazy reach.
What do you think your feelings would be if the 49ers took Josh Simmons at 11?
I get it. I totally get it. Like, and I value offensive tackle much more so than the 49ers do. So
that would be the 49ers saying that Josh Simmons is, in their minds, unquestionably the best tackle in that draft, should have gone top 3 or 4. They made it to 11 and they liked him so much that they were willing to risk the injury that has what, like a 50% return rate, something mind-numbingly bad. That would just be the 49ers telling us that they thought he was far and away the best tackle. We're picking at 11. We don't plan to be here anymore. We're going to risk it. Fire away. You know, I would understand it. It's not necessarily what I would do, but it would be damn, like, okay.
It would be scary, man. Because, like, draft picks in the first round have a 50% hit rate anyway. Now you add the injury, 50%. Like, now you're down to a 25%. I can do that math, right? Yeah, it's not probably the best. I don't think it's the best use of your resources for a team that doesn't usually pick that high. I don't like it. My philosophy, now this is John Chapman's own personal whatever, I don't want misses. I'm fine with doubles down the fairway. I'm cool with, I'm not a swing for the fences guy. Now, if you're going for a quarterback, which are always such a huge variable risk anyway, then I'm swing for the fences. Like, I was completely out on Mac Jones. Like, even if Mac Jones hit, like, what's the best you're going to get? Basically, Brock Purdy now, maybe. I was totally cool with Trey Lance. Now, it didn't work, but, man, if he could have been Josh Allen, then cool. Like, you swing for the fences. I was cool with Justin Fields because what if he does hit, what that could be.
Right.
But whenever you're picking and where the 49ers are now with completely deleting free agency from replenishing talent and you have so many holes, you have to have starters. And so I think that's kind of what this draft is full of a bunch of quality starters that can get playing time and can be good players. You're not like, I'm not on the, oh man, can he be an all pro? All right, then I don't want him. Like Mikal Williams plays for the 49ers, starts for the 49ers. It does his damn job for the 49ers. Is he going to be an all-pro player? Is he going to lead in sacks? Is he going to be rookie of the year, defensive? No. I don't think that's what you should be swinging for right now. And I know a lot of people disagree with me, but I want safe with how this roster is constructed because you need 8 starters, in my opinion. And obviously, you're not going to get 8 starters, but like, man, if you're taking some risky picks, trade back. But man, I want players. And Mikal Williams, starter. Darius Alexander, starter. Chris Paul, starter. Quincy Riley, starter. Like, I like what we result, the end result of this.
Right. I don't think that I'm not going to fault the 49ers for passing on Josh Simmons. I wouldn't fault them for taking Josh Simmons initially, but that's such a high risk. They managed to just, by the luck of the universe, end up with Brock Purdy after one of the biggest whiffs of all time in Trey Lance, and they survived that. And to me, if you are doing a Josh Simmons thing, you're playing a little bit too much Russian roulette with not only your own jobs, but just the luck of a player working out. You're taking a crapshoot and you're making it even harder on yourself. But I mean, every time someone mentions Josh Simmons, I always kind of look down and shake my head because I'm like, man, that guy is so good. And he just got hurt. And, you know, you want it to work out for him. You know, you want it to be a great story. And if the 49ers took Adam 11 and it worked out, he replaced Trent Williams. He started week one at left guard, was great, and then replaced Trent Williams, or he booted Colton McKivitz. I don't know. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of different ways where that could work out. It would be a great story. It's just very, very risky. And I don't think the 49ers are in a position to take risks. They're not, you know, if this was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and they were having the same conversation, I could understand why they would do it. They'd be like, you know, we're pretty locked up on most of our starting spots. We absolutely loved what Josh Simmons is, and we can give him a year or two, you know, but they're not really in a position to do that now.
Now you trade back, and I don't care. I mean, if you just get, you trade back and get a third rounder, you just trade back like four or five spots. Then you draft, Shamar Stewart. Then you draft Josh Simmons. Then you draft whomever, like even players I don't want, Will Johnson. Like, I don't want Shamar Stewart or Will Johnson at all. I don't want them. But if you trade back and get another asset and then take one of those players, then I'm totally cool with it because now you're buttressing. I don't know the right word to use here.
That's a good word for it.
And so then you go into third round and you could plug in an edge, right? So if you go Shamar Stewart, you can get a David Walker with that third round pick. If you go Will Johnson, you can get Jacob Parrish, right? So if you get Josh Simmons, you can get an Anthony Belton. And the Niners have doubled up picks at position so many times before. And almost every single time, the second guy drafted at that position is almost always the guy that hits. You can even include undrafted free agents in that conversation. So that's why I'm like, look, I there's certain guys that I just don't. And the Niners tweeted out today, like, oh, predict who the 49ers are going to pick at 11. I responded with, as long as it's not Shamar Stewart or Will Johnson, I'm a happy man. And Josh Simmons would be included in that for me. I prefer a trade back, but golly, how do you trade back when everybody's trying to trade back?
Right. That's I have become like so old man, get off my yard with the trade backs. Like anytime someone mentions trading back now, I roll my eyes way harder than I should. Cause I'm like, look, trading back in a normal draft is hard. This draft is way more flat than the first round is way flatter in terms of talent than most drafts. And it's just, sure, maybe they get an offer. Maybe they end up trading back. But it's just the way people talk about it bugs the living heck out of me. They act like it's, I've said this before, but they act like it's a button that every team just gets to press. And I get, hey, I don't like these picks. Trading back, send some team up here. Don't care who it is. They have to trade up with me because I pressed the button. It's not how it works. I just don't see a ton of people. I think everybody's going to want to trade back. And I think there's going to be limited amount of people wanting to trade up, if at all. I could see this being one of those drafts that just rocks on through. Everybody makes their pick and then it's over, you know, but I'm not trying to be a big grumpy draft Gus up here. It's just,
I like just grumpy
people just, people just say trade back. Like it's a guarantee. And I'm just like, stop it. It takes two to tango. And this ain't the draft where trading back seems like a guarantee. Now, if Ashton Ginty falls, manages to make it past the Bears and he's on the board with the 49ers picking at 11 and the Broncos give them a call, you know, like then it could happen. It could happen, you know, but it's just, it doesn't seem likely.
Ginty doesn't get out of top five. In my opinion, I think
I know.
I could see a team jumping up to four ahead of Jacksonville. Like, I don't know, man. I think there's going to be some movement at the very top, unless a quarterback falls. I just can't, you know. And again, like I did this thing called the Epic Mock 25, where 32 podcasters, 32 teams.
I was watching a lot of it. I was on the way home from the Getty Art Museum on a field trip, and I was watching a lot of it.
That's awesome.
I did pretty well.
Yeah, but like, okay, so I messaged all 32 GMs trying to trade back and organize trades. Most of them made fun of me, stopped messaging me, absolutely not interested.
Didn't you say somebody like cussed at you?
Yeah, like guy got really upset, which was hilarious because his Twitter header was Jay and Silent Bob. And so like I made like a joke, he didn't pick up on it and like got offended. But like I was like, dude, you got Jay and Silent Bob as your like Twitter handle. Like, my bad, dude, my bad. But anyway, he was very offended. But that's okay.
These mock drafts are serious.
They are, right? And I was like, dude, this is make-believe. But nobody would trade with me. I had two trades back if a certain player fell. That player didn't fall in either situation. And so, like, you're sitting there at 11, and you got a draft. It's just what it is. And I really hope they can. I'm not sure they will. But we'll see. So what?
If I'm the 49ers, I would even be. You never really want to do this. You want to get what's owed to you. But I think that trading back is going to be so difficult that if they get an offer, I think they'll be willing to take like a discount to do it. You know, like
correct.
I think that they'll be willing to take like a third round pick when it really should be like a second. You know, when the points say it should be a second, I think the 49ers will be willing to take a third. And I think a lot of teams are going to be willing to take deals on trading back. So for any team looking to trade up, I think that that team is going to get a sweet deal if they're sold on a prospect and they want to trade up, because there's going to be so many teams trying to trade back. I think it's teams are going to be like, no, just what's your offer, man? Tell me what you got. We'll probably take it. You know, it's like, it's just one of those weird drafts, man. It's weird.
Yeah. Third round's going to be fun, man. What else you got going on this week up to the draft and after the draft, Mr. Louder?
Well, on Wednesday, I'm hopping on Chris Biederman of the Candlestick Chronicles podcast. My mentor, he is actually, I think he's in Costa Rica on his honeymoon. So I am going to jump on with Kyle Madsen, who's also of the Candlestick Chronicles podcast. I think we're going to do some type of, you know, players we think that we think are actually going to end up with the 49ers on, you know, Thursday, Friday or whatever. But other than that, I think that's it. I might do some, obviously doing something at the end of each round to talk about it. KP is going to jump on after the 49ers make their pick in round 11. Not going to do it live. It'll just be something that gets published afterwards. You will be live from your draft party.
Yeah. So we're going to go live probably around like pick 5 or 6 of the first round. And then we'll carry that on throughout the first round. I'm hoping to get Demo. I want to get him in there. You got like a window for when these players show up. And so we're trying to organize it where, you know, he could jump on and say a couple words about his new teammate, which I think would be cool. But then we'll be live all of day two. So from the first pick to the last pick, me, Ant, my buddy Charles flying in from Chicago, my Eagles buddy, and a couple others are going to be joining us as well. So
yeah, I'm knowing Nora's going to be there Friday.
Well, yeah. And the Thursday, he's okay, going to be the first round.
It would be funny if I'm just thinking like, it would be funny if he was there and the 49ers took an offensive player, because you know you could get him on there to talk some shish about that offense. You know what I mean? If they just, let's say it was the third round, they drafted Kyle Williams and Diamador Lizanera. Ain't doing anything in camp. I got him.
The one saving grace to Kyle drafting a wide receiver in the first round is Demo.
Reaction.
Going after him early.
Nothing all camp. Don't worry about it.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, man, I cannot say thank you enough, Rob, just for all you do for the community, your friendship, and for, you know, cursing me for using the mock draft simulator.
We made it work.
We did. I'm not upset. The finished product was good. I would be okay with this draft result if the Niners did our draft picks. I'd be totally cool with that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, considering we were hamstringed by both a top 30 visit list and a mock draft simulator, and we still put something together like this that I would find actually okay on draft day, then hey, man, we're doing something right here.
I love it, man. Well, Rob, enjoy the rest of your day off. Hopefully you enjoy it with the kiddo and all that fun stuff and everybody else.
Always.
Thank you, guys. That's going to do it for us here. And as always, stay strong, faithful.
Save big money on everyday items you need at Menards. Eliminate odors with Damprid Moisture Absorbers. They're perfect for basements, attics, closets, and more. Damprid Moisture Absorbers work to attract and trap excess moisture to create noticeably cleaner, fresher air. Save big on Damprid Moisture Absorbers at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.